All right, can I introduce Matt Frost to you? There's lots I could say about Matt. I was obviously tempted to be really cheeky and say all sorts of rude things. But I'm just going to say one nice thing. There's lots I could say about him that is nice as well. But what I was thinking this morning, what are my memories of Matt? And there's lots of them. But the main thing that sticks in my mind from our kind of bit of shared history in London is that he's a real man of prayer. And I think that's still true. I kind of thought this morning, I don't know if that's still true, but I'm pretty confident it is. He used to speak on when Liz and I were doing the network training course. I think you came and spoke a couple of times. And you said a lot of stuff, Matt. I don't remember any of it, except for one thing. If you kind of birth your day in prayer, it kind of works. And I think that's probably still how you live your life. So I've asked Jonathan, who you know because you've got some of his family in your church, just to come and pray for you.
Cheers. Morning, Matt.
You right? Good morning. How are you doing?
Good to see you, mate.
Nice shirt.
Thank you very much. I'm known for my dress sense.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, it's great. I'll get your tailor's address.
Thank you very much. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you so much for this guy. Lord, I thank you that so many years ago he said yes to you.
Yes.
When you called him into ministry, he said yeah, although he didn't know where he was going. Mm. But you've blessed that ministry so amazingly. You've transformed lives through it. And you've even done amazing things in my own family through this man's ministry. Jesus, thank you for him. Yes. Lord, I pray that you honour him this morning and release him as he speaks. Release him away from even the things he's prepared, that he would have your words just straight from you, that we would be amazingly blessed through that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning. What do guest speakers always say at this point? It's really nice to be here. It's such a pleasure. It's such an honour. So I've done that now. Okay, fine. I've done that bit. Right. It's a real honour. Thank you very much for inviting me. Blah, blah. Lovely. You were deeply moved by that. And a few weeks ago, I was invited to speak at a social club in our town. I'm from Cirencester up in Gloucestershire and was invited to speak at a social club. And a lady said, could you come and speak? And I said, okay, what happens? And they said, well, you get an hour? And well, I said, what sort of stuff do they like? And she said, well, they like stuff that's funny. So I said, all right, without thinking this through, I said, I'm going to do Vickers stand-up comedy. So I went along, it was this social club, it was about 40 people there, mostly older. And I turned up, they're all chatting away, and I said, how come you invited me? They said, well, Reg, you was meant to be coming. He died. And then someone said, you could speak. So we've got you. Okay. Anyway, so I stood up and I didn't give them an hour. I gave them about 40 minutes. And they loved it. They loved it, mate. It was great. It was really good. They loved it. And at the end of it, they said, great, could you come again? So they booked me again. The problem is I've used all my good material, the lot. All the good gags I have, I've used the lot. There's nothing left. So this woman comes up to me afterwards, we're having a cup of tea, and she says, oh, you need more jokes? I've got one for you. It's fantastic. You'll love this. She sounds like she's from Peckham, but she's not. She's from Gloucestershire, but I can't do the Gloucestershire accent yet. So she said, love this joke. She sat down. She said, now, you'll like this because it's about a vicar. So there's this vicar, and he's going visiting a woman from his church. She's the woman that plays the organ in their church. And he's gone around, she's an older lady, and gone around her house, and she's welcomed him in. He's sat down in the lounge, and she's gone off to make the tea. And so she's making the tea in the kitchen. He's sitting there just looking around, and he notices that there's her keyboard where she practices. And so anyway, this woman's telling me this story, very excited. She knows I'll like this and I'll be able to use this joke. And she says, the vicar's sitting there and he notices the keyboard, and on top of it, sitting on top, there's a big bowl of water. And in the bowl of water is a condom. So I'm going, okay, I'm not sure whether this is a joke I can use. And so the woman's really excited about this, telling this to me. And she said, yeah, he's sitting there, sees the bowl of water, and there's a condom. And she said, oh, I've forgotten the end. And that was it. I'm left. So I still don't know if it's a good gag or not. So if you know that joke, come and tell me, Google it, something, find out. Brilliant. Anyway, so I'm going back in February. Need some more gags. If you've got any good gags, then email them to me. There's a chap in my church called John. And John is wonderful, he's enthusiastic, and he just loves to pray for people. He prays for anybody, pray for people that are sick particularly. He does it in a very sort of scary way. He holds your hands like this And he stares in your eyes. Jesus, Jesus, it is. It's great. And but he loves particularly to pray for people that haven't met God, don't know God yet, people that he meets everywhere. And back in May, he sent me a text message, him and his wife on a holiday in Germany. And he said, I've just met this bloke called Gunther, and everyone in Germany is called Gunther, and he's got a tumour, cancerous tumour, and I'm about to go and pray for him. I've told him, he said he's happy to be prayed for. I'm about to go and pray for him. Can you pray? So I replied, yes, certainly. And so I prayed. Anyway, so he went and prayed for him and then came back from a holiday. Anyway, he was back in Germany a couple of weeks ago with his wife, and they bumped into this chap. And John sent me another text from Germany saying, I've just met up with this guy, Gunther, and he has been completely healed. The tumour has gone. And he said, he feels like he wants to hug the world. So it was a wonderful phrase. And so John was able to tell this man about the fact not just that God had healed him, but God wanted to change his life. And so this morning we are, amongst other things, we're going to pray for anyone this morning who would like prayer for healing. Love to pray for those who are sick. We're going to do that. Before the service, I was praying and sensed the Lord just want to highlight three things for particular people here. And so if any of these grab you, then please get someone to pray for you this morning. The first, this isn't about healing, was for someone here who, I think it's a man, I'm not certain, but it certainly felt like that in this word I had. And in front of your family and your friends, you feel shame. There's something you've done that other people know about, and you just feel ashamed, and you've carried it around, and it affects you emotionally. You get angry as a result of it. You feel shame and the weight of what it is that happened in the past. And God is wanting to set you free from that. And so please, come and share that. Come and ask someone to pray with you. Someone else, you're suffering, you've got dry and flaking skin, the Lord wants to heal you. And a third person, you have somewhere in your body some paralysis, something doesn't move. And the word I had was that you need oiling, the parts need oiling. Like, anyone seen The Wizard of Oz? The Tin Man? It was like that in this picture. Okay, so if you are sick this morning, any of those things I've mentioned or anything else, and you would like to know the Lord healing you, would you mind standing up just now? We're going to pray all together for healing. So those things, or if there's something else you're just saying, yeah, I'd love to know the Lord's healing touch. Now I can guarantee that every single person in this room has something physically wrong with them. We all do. I do. So so take this opportunity, because it is passing by, and I'm going to have, if you'd like us to pray for you, we're just going to pray for healing now. Okay, if you are near one of these people that's standing up and they're okay with it and you're okay with it, would you mind just placing a hand on them? We're going to ask the Lord's healing. That would be brilliant. Thank you, everybody. That's super. Let's pray together, and we're going to speak a word of healing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you are the Lord who heals us. And so we speak now over these folk who've stood, and by standing it's a step of faith, and we speak to you and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to someone with dry skin and we say, be healed, may your skin be healed in Jesus' name. For someone who experiences paralysis, we say, be oiled, be loosened, be moving in the name of Jesus. For each person who's in pain, be healed in the name of Jesus. May the Lord heal you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. What I'm going to invite you to do is that when we get to the end of the service in a few minutes, if you could just see what's happened. So if something wasn't working, see if it's working. If something was in pain, let's see what's happened. And do come and tell me. I'd love to hear what's going on. If we need to pray some more, we'll pray some more. Just try and stop me. That's what we're saying this morning. That's the title of my message this morning. I had a lovely fancy PowerPoint and, oh, that's our church and so on. Oh, well done. Good man. Just try and stop me. Could we say that together? Just try and stop me. I will repeat that a number of times, so if you remember nothing else, you'll go away with that. And then you'll think, why was he saying that? I can't remember at all. We're going to read something from the Bible. And so if you have a Bible, turn to the book of John and chapter 1. So it's towards the right-hand side if you're not familiar with the Bible. John chapter 1, and we're going to read a bit about John the Baptist. Read about John the Baptist. So we're going to read some stuff from chapter 1, verse 15 through to 31. I'm going to leave some bits out just for the sake of time and just read a few verses here. So John chapter 1, verse 15. So John testified concerning Jesus. And he cried out saying, this, so he's talking about Jesus now, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Jumping on to verse 21. They asked John, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who'd been sent questioned John. Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you don't know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray as we think about these words just for a few minutes. Would you speak to our hearts, speak to our minds? Would you encourage us and stir us deep inside? Stir us deep inside in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just try and stop me. Just try and stop me. Now, just before Matt got the job here, and which was what? Was that a year ago? More than that? I don't know. I forgot. May, was it? Oh, it feels like a long time. Probably does for you. And just before Matt started, we met up and you wanted to ask some questions about how to, you know, avoid your deacons and that sort of thing. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. And so we met up somewhere halfway between Siren Sister and here. It's a long way to get here, isn't it? It really is. And I went to your chapel as well this morning. It's really nice. It's lovely. And I thought, oh, quiet church. And we met up. Where did we meet up?
A golf club.
Okay. And I realized the serious prejudice that Matt has about golf and about golfers. And are there any golfers in the room? Anyone here? And okay, you need to pray for him. Okay. It's like racism, only about golf. Okay. That's what it is. That's what it is. Okay. And he was quite prejudiced. And then discovered during conversation that I play golf, and so does my son. And he was struggling to try and fit those two together because he sort of thinks I'm all right, and yet he couldn't bring those two together. He was appalled. But my son, who's 17 now, is an avid golfer. He's playing golf every day. We're playing golf today. He was playing golf yesterday, and will be playing golf tomorrow. He's doing a BTEC in golf. Did you know such things exist? I did an A-level in chemistry. How boring. I could have done a BTEC in golf. It's brilliant. All the time. And he's very good at golf. And his handicap is 3, for those of you who know anything about golf. And he's only 17. And so, but the thing that's true about him is that you cannot stop him playing and practicing. You can't stop him. He hits chunks out of our lawn as he practices. He goes over the fields and practices. Just all the time, he's practicing, he's playing. You can't stop him. Now, normally golf's, you know, boring men in middle age, but my son's already reached that now. And so it's you know, but you cannot stop him practicing. You cannot stop him playing. Have any of you here been dragged to practice something in your life? You were doing something and you were put under pressure by normally parents, might be someone else, to practice something. Anyone here? What sort of things were they? What did you have to practice? What did you have to practice at the back?
Piano.
Do you still play?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Is he any good?
Yeah.
Oh, it works. Oh, all right. Okay, it's good. Oh, very good. Good job they didn't say no there. That would have been all of it. Oh, sorry. Oh, I opened a can of worms. Okay, what else? We had piano. What other things were you made to practice?
The oboe.
The oboe. It's an awful instrument, isn't it? My daughter plays it. Yeah. Do you still play now? Yeah, I thought not. That's right. Yeah, that's what happens with the oboe. You only give it up. My daughter's just decided to give up. She's 15. She's worked it out already. It's awful. I was the trombone. Oh, there's my son playing golf. Yes, I was the trombone. I played the trombone at school and started. I played in a great band called the Random Groove Movement. They were really good. And so we supported Desmond Dekker. Remember Desmond Dekker? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And I hated practicing, though. And my dad had to bribe me to practice. We lived in a house that didn't have a TV. My parents didn't even have a TV. And me and my sister were badgering my parents to get a TV. So my dad said, if you practice your trombone every night until Christmas, this was in March, we'll get a TV. So I said, all right. And I did it. I did it. Do I still play the trombone? No. Sorry. It's good. I had to be dragged to practice. But my son says, you can't stop me. And he just keeps playing. He just keeps playing. And a genuine disciple or follower of Jesus is someone that does not need to be dragged, prodded, reminded, threatened, or enticed to love God and to follow him. A genuine disciple of Jesus is someone that doesn't need to be dragged, prodded, reminded, threatened, or enticed to love and to follow Jesus. Would you agree with me? Just try and stop me. So John the Baptist. There's two things in this little passage that talk about John the Baptist and his ministry that I think we can grab hold of so that we are those who don't need to be dragged or forced or prodded or reminded to follow Jesus. We just do it, like my son does with his golf. And the first thing is this, is that we become convinced that Jesus is amazing. We become convinced that Jesus is amazing. Just look at our passage. So if you've got the Bible there, have a look. Might appear on the screen. John says in verse 15, that he who comes after me has surpassed me. He is convinced and persuaded that Jesus is amazing, is better than him. He has surpassed me. And then he goes on, verse 29. He saw Jesus coming and he said, look, look, it's the Lamb of God. And if you don't know why he's talking about sheep at this point, that's fine. We can, you know, I can explain that. But he says, look, it's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He saw Jesus coming. The one who comes after me, I'm not worthy even to undo the straps of his sandals. That's the job of a servant, is to undo the shoes. Do you have servants here? Yeah, you do. Okay, it's great. That's how it works. Good. And And John says, I'm not even worthy to be the servant to this guy. He is so amazing. John is so persuaded, so convinced that Jesus is incredible, that it fills his vision. And when he sees him coming, he says, look, it's the one I've been telling you about. It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you and me, we need to be captivated in our hearts with a conviction that Jesus is amazing. Is he amazing?
Yes.
Yes. And we need that to fill our hearts so that whatever the day's like, nothing can stop us. Just try and stop me. My son goes and plays golf in the rain when it's hot, a good day and a bad day. And we need to be those who say, Jesus is so amazing, so amazing. I want to follow. I want to introduce you to my friend Dave. Dave and I were at university together in London. That's him there with his family now. And the woman that's next to him is now his wife, Pippa. That we were friends, we knew each other, and Pippa and Dave were both Christians. And Pippa was convinced that she wanted to get together with Dave and that Dave should be her husband. Dave wasn't persuaded of this. He was friendly with her, but wasn't persuaded. But she was someone who really prayed. And she prayed a lot. And I remember chatting to her about this. And I said, just move on. You know, he's a bit of a muppet anyway, so just move on. But she was convinced this was the guy. And then one day, in our third year, it was a Friday, something happened to Dave. And suddenly he changed. It was as if the scales fell from his eyes and he saw this woman. And it was, wow. And I remember on the Sunday evening, at the end of that weekend, he came round to see me. He sat in the corner of my room when I was at college, just staring up into space. Oh, it was, there were noises like that. Oh, Pippa, oh. It was weird. But it was, something had happened within him that persuaded him that Pippa was amazing. And she was. She was great. And she was right. And they got married. And we need something like that to happen to us. And we may need to have it happen again or be refreshed to, just so that inside us we're saying, he's amazing. Jesus is amazing. I want to follow him. I want to follow him. We need to be captivated in our hearts, perhaps again. Last Sunday at our service in the morning at our church, the band were leading us like yours were this morning, and there was a girl playing guitar and singing, and she hadn't played before. I knew she was, but she hadn't played in the band before. And she was fantastic, wonderful singer, and I hadn't heard her sing before. She was great. But she was someone, she's in her early mid-20s, she'd grown up going to church, to our church, and then gone away to university, and it really just, that passion, that love, that sense that Jesus is amazing had gone. And she just drifted away from God. And then in the last year, something's happened, and she's been captivated again by the sense that Jesus is amazing. She's moved back to live in her hometown, and she's been recaptured in her heart. And as she was singing on Sunday, you could see that she was singing and meant it. Just try and stop me. So the first thing is that John is convinced that Jesus is amazing. And the second thing is that he is then convinced, therefore, how he should be living, what he should be doing. Have a look at verse 21, 22 and 23. The Pharisees asked him, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Was he right, Matt? I was going to say no. That's the right answer. I think he doesn't fully know who he is. I think he is Elijah. Are you the prophet? He said no, but actually he was. But that's another question. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And then this is it. John replied, the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Because he was captivated by a vision of Jesus, he knew what he should be doing. And he got on and did the job that he'd been called to do, which was to proclaim that the kingdom of God was coming and to get people ready for Jesus to turn up. He just got on and did it. He didn't need to be asked. He hadn't even met Jesus. He just got on and did the job. He got on and did what he'd been asked to do. He knew what he was called to do. A disciple knows in their heart how they should be living and just gets on with it. A disciple knows in their heart how they should be living for God and just gets on with it. We don't need to be persuaded, prodded, dragged, reminded. It burns inside us and we just want to get on and live for God. Let me introduce you to another friend of mine called Andy. That's Andy there, the bald one. And he was someone that, if you'd asked him, he would have said he believed in God. This is, we're talking sort of 15 years ago. He said, yeah, I believe in God. He went to church. That was about it. And then he met with God in a new way. Went away for a few weeks for some other Christians and met God in a profound way. And he came back changed with an absolute sense of I need to not just say I believe, but to live for God. It was as if there was a fire inside. And he began to live and to serve God in his life. He was a nurse, still is. And to serve God there. Him and his wife have now started a church, planted a church in Essex. But something happened, that, as it did with John the Baptist, that made him absolutely convinced how he should be living. And he just began to live it. He just began to do it. He said, you can't stop me. You can't stop me. He began to seek to serve God with every part of his life, whether he was at work or whether he was at home. You can't stop me. And so this morning we'd like to pray. Recognizing that for many of us here, the reality is that often we do stop. We do stop. Most of us here know that Jesus is amazing, but we need to be stirred again in our heart that he's real. We need to be gripped again by a passion that simply says, I know how I'm going to live tomorrow. Just try and stop me. Just try and stop me. Because I'm going to live for God. And so what I'd like us to do now is simply to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would simply come and help us to do just that. And so again, I'd like to say that if you this morning are saying, I need the Spirit of God's help because I don't always have that in my heart. That isn't the way I live. I need to be convinced again that Jesus is amazing. I want to be someone who, like my son with his golf, just gets on with it. You can't stop him. I want to serve God day by day, hour by hour, wherever we are in life. So if that's you and you'd like to say, yes, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to help me with that, would you stand? And I'm standing as I'm saying this. And we're simply going to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would come and help us and fill us and move us. So let's pray, friends. If you want to hold your hands out, just if that helps you, then please do that. It's not compulsory. So I'm going to invite that the Holy Spirit would come and rest upon us, and then I'll shut up for a minute. Wonderful God, we need to be persuaded again, convinced in our deep in our heart that you are so wonderful. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and ignite that passion, that vision. We pray that you would come and stir us so that we would say, you can't stop me. You can't stop me from following. So Holy Spirit, we ask you would come and rest upon us now. Rest upon our hearts. Rest upon our minds now, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, we welcome you. Welcome you to come and fill us. God is here with us, and if you would like to simply tell him in the quiet what you need him to do, there's at least one person here. You need to let go of some stuff that you're clinging on to. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, walk. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God loves us. God loves you. And invites you simply to follow and don't let anything stop you. Be blessed and be filled in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do take a seat. If you would like me or someone else to pray for you when our service is finished in a few minutes, then we'd be really happy to do that. If anyone else would like any more prayer for healing, happy to do that too. Thank you. Thank you.